In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, church. Very nice to be with you today. This gospel is very dear to my heart. My dad owned a grocery store in Wichita, Kansas, when I was growing up. There were some really great benefits for a kid whose father basically fed a whole neighborhood from the corner store. One of the most amazing treats, though, for me, happened on the rare Sunday in those days before Dad closed the store on Sunday, when the Wonder Bread people didn't deliver. And Dad had to make a run to the bakery to pick up enough bread for the start of the week. Now, at that time, my dad had a little Studebaker, which some of you may know what that is. It was a pretty small vehicle for carrying the big boxes of bread. The great thing for me was that as a little girl, I got to sit in the middle of the back seat with the big boxes of bread on either side of me, and it smelled just like heaven to me. And even better, the people at the bakery always gave me a kid-sized loaf of my own, so that I could actually taste and smell the wonder on my way back to the store. I don't know if that started my great love affair with bread, but I do know that it's been very hard for me to pass up that addictive carbohydrate for my whole life. I have graduated from Wonder Bread to other more amazing kinds of bread. But if someone puts out a basket of bread of almost any kind, I find it very hard to pass up. If I were one of the 5,000 people who were fed during the miracle on the hillside that you heard about last week, I would have joined them in continuing to search for Jesus. After all, they were very hungry, and they would have noticed that there was food left over. They would have been very keen to keep an eye on such a source. Just think what it would be like to be bone deep hungry and to find somebody who would give you as much bread as you could eat. I'd jump in a boat and continue to search for him everywhere, wouldn't you? As we heard today, they found Jesus and his disciples again in Capernaum, and they were wanting to continue in relationship with Jesus. And we all know the reason, right? Bread. It seems like they were begging, do it again, do it again. Jesus had a very disconcerting response. He said, I know you folks are still hungry, but don't spend all your time and energy looking for the kind of bread that perishes. I can offer you something even better. How would you feel, I wonder, if you found a source of total deliciousness and then were told that it wasn't really the best thing, that there was in fact something even better than bread? Personally, I think I might have reacted as though it was the most cruel bait and switch that I had ever heard about. The crowd wasn't easy to put off. They began to quiz Jesus, where did you come from? And Jesus answered them with mysterious sounding things like being the Son of Man. And he told them that God had given him power by setting his seal on him. So the people demanded to know what kind of a sign he was going to show them so that they might believe in him. How quickly they forgot that he had fed the 5,000 the week before. It's really astonishing that Jesus doesn't teach a more concrete lesson right then. But he didn't. At least not according to John. I don't think it would have gone over well with a modern day crowd. He had given them more than real bread, more than they could eat, and now he is telling them that he himself is the real bread that they should be searching for instead. He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Would really hungry people believe that? John has a few more passages coming up in the next few weeks to help us understand. But still, who would have thought that we would go from that hillside where Jesus fed people with little scraps of bread, and today we come to the altar where we're fed with a little delicate wafer? But Jesus didn't explain to them. He didn't say this is a mystery that you'll have to struggle to understand. He didn't tell them that it would take generations of men and women studying and working to try to figure out how to make the bread of life available for people forever. He just said, "I am the bread of life." We've had 2,000 years plus to learn that it's not the actual calories and carbs that we need to consume as much as we need to consume the body of Christ and thereby be transformed by his presence and into his presence here on earth. As a priest, I don't know how I would have felt trying to feed the hungry hordes on the hillside. But I do know what it feels like to place a tiny wafer into the hands of a person whose need is raw. Every now and then I come across someone who obviously gets it and takes their bread as though it is the lifeline that it really is. So the important thing for you today is to decide what the bread of this table means to you. Are you aware when you receive the bread in your hand or on your tongue that you are being transformed into the body of Christ? Do you suddenly become aware that those around you who have also received have also been transformed? It's not a magic trick. It's not make-believe. You are being made the body of Christ, his hands and his feet and his heart and his mind. You are Christ here on earth. We have already been given this abundance and it is readily available to you, thanks to the generosity of God. All you have to do is come and eat. Amen.